वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, fourth chapter, the characteristics of Rishabhadev. We're on text 9 this morning. And this is a prose text, and so they have not put it on the board because it's difficult to chant because it has no rhythm. So I'll just read the text in Sanskrit, and then we'll try to do the word for word, even though you don't have the words up here. I'll try to pronounce them clearly. Proceed as usual. Okay, so this is Canto 5, Chapter 4, Text Number 9.
Yesham kalo mahayogi bharato jeshta shreshta guna asid yenedam varsham bharatam itti vyapadishanti.
This text. So after me. Yesham. Of whom?
Kalu,
indeed.
Mahayogi,
a very highly exalted devotee of the Lord. Bharataha, Bharata. Jeshtaha, the eldest.
Sreshta,
Gunaha, qualified with the best attributes.
Asit
was
yena
by whom
idam
this
varsham
planet
bharatam
bharata
iti
thus
vyapadishanti
people call. Translation. Of Rishabhadev's 100 sons, the eldest, named Bharata, was a great, exalted devotee, qualified with the best attributes. In his honor, this planet has become known as Bharata Varsha. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This planet, known as Bharata Varsha, is also called Punya Bhumi, the pious land. At the present moment, Bharat Bhumi, or Bharat Varsha, is a small piece of land, extending from the Himalaya Mountains to Cape Comorin. Sometimes this peninsula is called Punya Bhumi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given special importance to the people of this land. Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janma Yar Janma Sataka Kari Kara Para Upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharat Varsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 9:41. The inhabitants of this piece of land are very fortunate. They can purify their existence by accepting this Krishna consciousness movement and go outside Bharat Bhumi, India, and preach this cult to the whole world. Yama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samniditi Ramane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschachare Satarani Om Gyanam Timananda Shagaranjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhiva Chapatipanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So of Rishabhadev's 100 sons, the eldest named Bharata was a great exalted devotee qualified with the best attributes. In his honor, This planet has become known as Bharat Varsha, also known as Punya Bhumi, the pious land. Punya Bhumi. Prabhupada points out here that Bharat Varsha, the reference of Bharat Varsha, at one time was the whole planet, and now is this little peninsula from the Himalaya mountains down to Kanyakumari. I think they've restored officially the old name. Cape Comorin is Kanyakumari. So this is now Punya Bhumi, called sometimes. But actually the whole place, the whole Bharat Varsha is Punya Bhumi. So then Prabhupada quotes this text from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I want to talk about this text a little bit. This is the one where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoins anyone who takes birth in Bharata Bhumi, any human, manusha, janma, any human being should work for the benefit of all other people, do good for others. So this is taken from the Adi Lila, chapter 9. This is one of the most extraordinary chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is depicted in a kind of allegorical, figurative way as a gardener who is planting a seed, and a tree is grown up. This tree comes clear in the context, is a desire tree. It's the desire tree of the Krishna consciousness movement. Mahaprabhu is, it's a short chapter. I'll just read some of the texts here. Krishna's Kaviraj writes, I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna, its gardener, and also the bestower and the enjoyer of the fruits. So actually in this Mahaprabhu is the gardener who plants the tree and cultivates it. He's the tree, it's himself. He's the fruit of the tree, and he's the enjoyer of the fruits. This is all depicted in this chapter. So he goes on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, my name is Vishwambar, one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fulfill the whole universe with love of God. Well, this is an important name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we chant the Gaura Gayatri, that name is there. To meditate, what does Vishwambar mean? In this context, one who fills the whole universe with love of God. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maintains the universe. Now we have the idea of in this name is the mission of Mahaprabhu. Thinking in this way, he accepted the duty of a planter and began to grow a garden in Navadvip. Thus, the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service. So we see there, this tree is a bhakti kalpataru. This particular desire tree is the bhakti kalpataru. He brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth. So it's from somewhere else, and this is brought down. And became its gardener. He sowed the seed and sprinkled upon it the water of his ichcha, his will. His will. His desire, and then consequently for us, his will is our order. We need to remember, we had a discussion in class day before yesterday, that, as Prabhupada put it, a devotee has no way of experiencing happiness except by seeing that the Lord is happy in all respects. And so in this case, we serve the Lord in two forms. Not only as Radha and Krishna, the Lord in Vrindavan, but the Lord also as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simultaneously. And as far as our mission goes, we are serving under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. This was Arjuna, was to be convinced to serve the mission of the Lord. And at that time, that was Lord Krishna, with his, particularly at Kurukshetra at that time. So the mission of the Lord that we have to follow is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, and so this whole chapter is about this mission. So then he goes on, after sowing the seed and sprinkling it with the water of his will, his icha, his desire. The text continue, all glories to Sri Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is in him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Prabhupada remarks, Sri Madhavendra Puri was the first person in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead, and the first to write a poem, beginning with the words, Dina Dayadra Nata, O Supremely Merciful Personality of Godhead. In that poetry is the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cultivation of love of God. That poem, that verse, expresses what we also see in the last verse of the Shishastika prayers, and second to last, the last two verses of the Shishastika prayers, Srimati Radharani's love and separation from Krishna. So this is where the supreme form of bhakti is expressed, first by Madhavendra Puri. So that's the seed there, as Prabhupada points out, what that means. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwara Puri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Now he's also the trunk of the tree. By his inconceivable powers, the Lord became the gardener, the trunk, and the branches simultaneously. Paramananda Puri, Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Vishnu Puri, Keshava Puri, Krishna, Krishnananda Puri, Sri Nishinga Tirtha, and Sukhananda Puri, these nine sannyasi roots all sprouted from the trunk of the tree. Thus the tree stood steadfastly on the strength of these nine roots. When the sober and gray of Paramananda Puri as the central root and the eight roots in the eight directions, the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood firmly. From this trunk grew many branches and above them innumerable others. Thus the branch of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster or society. And with great branches covering all the universes. And Prabhupada says, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. From each branch grew many hundreds of sub-branches. No one can count how many branches there they grew. So then he discusses a little bit about these different branches. And then he goes on and he says, as a big fig tree bears fruit all over its body, each part of the tree of devotional service bore fruit. Since Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original trunk, the taste of the fruits that grew on the branches and sub-branches surpassed the taste of nectar. The fruits ripened and became sweet and nectarian. The gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without asking any price. While the wealth of the three worlds cannot equal the value of one such nectarian fruit of devotional service, not considering who asked for it and who did not, or who was fit or who was unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. The transcendental gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handfuls after handfuls of fruit in all directions. And when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. So he's addressing us also. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the actions of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree, nevertheless, moves. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus they grow up. As they grow up, they spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. There it is. This is, what is the Lord's icha? What is his will? There it is. And you notice how joyful he comes when people are eating it, and how much distress he's into when it's an anxiety that this fruit be distributed. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. The fruits are distributed all over the world. My reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus people will glorify my name with great pleasure. And then the verse Prabhupada mentioned, one who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of other people. And then Mahaprabhu quotes from the Bhagavatam, it is the duty of every person, of every living being, to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. And then he quotes from the Vishnu Purana, by his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next. So in this way, he talks a little more, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj says, the descendants of the tree, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. So this is the chapter where Mahaprabhu gives this order. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. And we should understand the anxiety of Mahaprabhu that this be done, and his great happiness in seeing when it takes place. It is our duty to relieve him of this anxiety and to give him a satisfaction. And we can see, I want to point out to you, that how Prabhupada describes his coming to the West, particularly in Los Angeles on December 9th in 1968. It was the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada gave a really quite a wonderful lecture. Talks about a little bit about his Guru Maharaj, but then he says I was born in a different family. My Guru Maharaj was born in a different family. Who knew that I will come to his protection? Who knew that I would come in America? Who knew that you American boys will come to me? These are all Krishna's arrangement. We cannot understand how these things are taking place. In 1936, the RAF says we cannot understand how these things are taking place. Now he's going to tell us how they take place, actually. In 1936, today is 9th December 1968. That means 32 years ago in Bombay. I was then doing some business. And Prabhupada was a householder. All of a sudden, perhaps on this date, somewhere between 9 or 10 December, at that time, Guru Maharaj was indisposed, little. Indisposed means sick. A little old-fashioned word. Probably still current in the South. Was indisposed, little. And he was staying at Jagannath Puri on the seashore. People went there to recover their health. It was like a spa in some ways. So I wrote him a letter. My dear master, your other disciples, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, they are rendering you direct service. And I'm a householder. I cannot live with you. I cannot serve you nicely. So I do not know how can I serve you. Simply an idea. I was thinking of serving him. How can I serve him seriously? Now, the interesting thing to note about this is, of course, the Gaudiya Mutt was very active at that time. But really, everybody who was an active preacher in the Mutt was sannyasis and brahmacharis. They were, and householders were quite marginal people. One of our god, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers complained to some of us, he was never very important about Prabhupada. Because when they were not considered at all able to do anything. And you can see, he had a family, he was maintaining it, he was doing business in Bombay. You know what it's like to do business in Bombay? I mean, especially in 1936. Yeah. So it was quite a task. So Prabhupada wrote him simply an idea, in other words, kind of an impulse. He just had this feeling of deficiency, and he wrote him, I was thinking of serving him. How can I serve him seriously? So the reply was dated 13 December 1936. And that notice how good the mail services were even at that time. In that letter he wrote, my dear such and such, I am very glad to receive your letter. I think you should try to push our movement in English. That was his writing. And that will do good to you and the people who will help you. That was his instruction. And then, in 1936, on the 31st December, that means just after writing this letter, a fortnight before his departure, he passed away. But I took that order of my spiritual master very seriously, but I did not think that I'll have to do such and such a thing at that time. I was at that time a householder. So, just to understand this in context a little bit, This was a very well-known and famous order. This is something of Prabhupada's astonishment, because Bhaktisiddhanta, this is the same, Prabhupada said, I cannot do anything, I'm a householder. But then he gave him the same order that Prabhupada, I mean Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave to his leading sannyasis. Anyone who thought was capable, this was the order, because preach in English meant go to the West. Go to the West. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt the urgency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was his own urgency, his own anxiety. And so he was pushing, we should go to the West. And so that this order was very liberally distributed. Sometimes we think Srila Prabhupada was the only one. It's quite opposite. It was given to every leader. And so Prabhupada says, he's a little astonished. I took it seriously, but I did not think that I'll have to do such and such a thing. In other words, how can I make a plan? Here I am in 19, I'm doing, I got my householder and doing business. Here's this order. It seems like it's an impossible order, but how can I make a plan for it? What to do? I was at that time a householder. But this is the arrangement of Krishna. Notice that sentence. This is the arrangement of Krishna. In other words, he's telling us that you get the order, it can be done, even though it's impossible. As we used to have a TV program, it was very popular in my youth, Mission Impossible. You know, it was like Mission Impossible. But this is the arrangement of Krishna. If we strictly try to serve the spiritual master, his order, then Krishna will give us all facilities. That is the secret. Although there was no possibility, I never thought. See, so in the beginning, he was hopeless. Although there was no possibility, I never thought. I'd do this. But I took it a little seriously by studying a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the Bhagavad Gita. Now this was, from here we see, this was a real important climactic revelatory moment for Srila Prabhupada. He had this order, he took it seriously, he was thinking about it, didn't know what to do, how do I make it toward this order, and then he read this purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the verse Vyavasa Atmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana 241, in connection with that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary that we should take up the words from the spiritual master as our life and soul. We should try to carry out the instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master very rigidly without caring for our personal benefit or loss. If you notice this reference here to this commentary and what it says and Prabhupada's understanding, you will find it's like a leitmotif that runs through all of Prabhupada's writings and all of Prabhupada's lectures. He comes back to it again and again and again and again. This is the secret. And so that was one commits oneself to the order. Is it impossible? Doesn't matter. If it's the order, I'll take it seriously. I won't care whether I succeed or fail. I don't even worry about whether I'm liberated or not liberated. My concern is, let me dedicate myself to this order. So him, the order came like this: you should preach in English. And so Prabhupada said, I tried a little bit in that spirit. Remember, he's asking the question, how did we come together here? Prabhupada's in Los Angeles in 1968, 30 years later. So I tried a little bit in that spirit. So he has given me all facility to serve him. You see, the facilities came. Things have come to this stage that in this old age, I have come to your country, and you are also taking this movement seriously, trying to understand it. We have got some books now. So there's little foothold of this movement. I mean, this is 68. I mean, this is very early on, huh? Little foothold. So on this occasion of my spiritual master's departure, I am trying to execute his will, which, as you notice, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will. This is his coming down this way. Similarly, I shall also request you to execute the same order through my will. So here's where, actually, if you want a specific occasion where it happened, this is the place. So he says this, the same order through my will. I am an old man. I can also pass away at any moment. That is nature's law. Nobody can check it. So that is not very astonishing. But my appeal to you, on this auspicious day, on the departure of my Guru Maharaj, that at least to some extent you have understood the essence of Krishna consciousness movement, you should try to push it on. People are suffering from want of this consciousness. As we daily pray about the devotees, Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyabhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. A Vaishnava, or devotee of the Lord, his life is dedicated for the benefit of the people. You know, most of you belong to Christian community, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said that for your sinful activities he has sacrificed himself. That is the determination of the devotee of the Lord. He doesn't care for personal comforts. Because they love Krishna or God, therefore they love all living entities, because all living entities are in relationship with Krishna. So similarly, you should learn. So he ties together Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order with Jesus Christ. This is the Vaishnava, and you should learn. This Krishna consciousness movement means to become Vaishnava and feel for the suffering humanity. And then he describes how people understand feeling for suffering humanity on this different platform. But we know that people are, the real suffering is this want of Krishna consciousness. So notice here that Prabhupada has given us the same order. See, I've had godbrothers of mine complain, you know, Prabhupada got an order from his spiritual master and different devotees were told by Prabhupada to do this. He didn't tell me anything. Here he is. He gave us the same, and he says this is the same order. So that the order, preach in English, go to the West. Prabhupada now gives it in a more generic form. Have some feeling for suffering humanity. You should have feeling, you should, Krishna conscious movement. So similarly, you should learn this Krishna consciousness movement means to become Vaishnava and feel for suffering humanity. So that's the order, to become devotees ourselves and to have some feeling for suffering humanity. And so that there the order, it's given, it's transmitted, parampara, like this. So that's the actual... actual place where Prabhupada is doing this. And then he says, what also we see in this chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you become Krishna conscious and if you act in that way, then all other problems in the material conditional life solved. Because this is the desire tree. Prabhupada also says in the purports of the Adi Lila 9, that actually when the Krishna consciousness movement is taken care of, that not only will people's material, spiritual problems be solved, but all the material problems as well. He's very clear about that. So it's we should understand, I mean, this is this This order is given to us by Srila Prabhupada in the same way that he received it from his spiritual master. Prabhupada has noticed that he's said in several places, actually, some of them recorded, that he was the only one to understand this order of his spiritual master. Although it was distributed very widely, nevertheless, the only one who actually took it up and showed a result was Srila Prabhupada. Because he said, everybody may claim I'm the only one. He said, but in my case, we have this evidence. He said, so it's not just my self-importance or my vanity. We have the result to show for it. So that's one reason that we are very particular about sticking to the position of Srila Prabhupada. We are now getting input from other people from the Gaudiya Math, other disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who we don't say that they're not performing devotional service or that they're not going back to Godhead. That's not the issue for us. But the issue is really where does the potency come to follow this particular order to satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intense desire, to relieve him of his anxiety and make him happy by spreading Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta understood it. And so because Bhakti Siddhanta understood it, the Krishna consciousness, which by the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered it in its pure form, it was only being performed by a handful of people. And Bhakti Siddhanta spread it all over India and wanted very much to spread it beyond India. But the attempts that happened at that time, it did not come out successful. And then afterwards, Prabhupada, you can see how Prabhupada tried so much. You can see how he took this order seriously, how he's 1944, he started Back to Godhead magazine, he started writing in English, he started practicing in English. He tried to work in with one Gaudiya Math. And the facility for preaching was not available. It wouldn't give him any facility for preaching. He tried to make the League of Devotees in Jhansi, and that did not work out. Not to no fault of his own. Then you see him goes to Vrindavan. He starts translating all by himself in English the Srimad Bhagavatam. With this prospectus for 60 volumes, working all by himself, doing everything. Not only is he typing it out on some rinky-dink typewriter, but he has to go to the booksellers, he has to go buy the paper, go to the binders, the printers, get all the stuff together, do everything just like a businessman. He has to collect the donations all by himself, convince people that it's worthwhile. And if you look at it from that way, you would say, I don't know, that's something you discover in India sometimes. I remember when we had this science conference in Bombay in 84. While I was there, I got flooded with people coming up to me who were attracted to the science conference, the Science and Religions Conference Bhaktivedanta Institute organized. And there were some very big names there. And many people came to the temple, came to this conference with their schemes. They had little envelopes with some big scheme to do this or to do that, and they wanted your backing. And it was sort of a characteristic thing of the people in India developing big schemes. Anyway, you may have thought Prabhupada was one like that. You know, he had his big plan to spread all over the world. And then you look at his book, you know, those original volumes. The paper is cheap. The binding is falling apart. There's full of typos. And the English is not standard educated English. How would this ever happen? Anyway, somehow or other he did it. And Prabhupada said one time, he said that he thought that he would make money as a businessman. So he would, when he came to the West, he would have money. He would have some capital. But he said Krishna made me a business failure. He said that was what his statement. And Krishna's purpose, I think, his purpose was, well, we'll see. Because when Prabhupada finally came, he had no capital. It's true he could take out 40 rupees out of India. There were currency restrictions, so he had 40 rupees. But what actually happened is when he went to America, no bank would exchange it for dollars. So really what he did was, and maybe this is prophetic, he sold a set of Bhagavatams to the captain of the Jaladuta, Pandya, sent him a set of Bhagavatams for $20 or $25, I can't remember. So that was the startup capital. So we've always been undercapitalized. So they had no money, no institutional support. It was not forthcoming. You could get very little help from India. He was by himself, no associates with him. He was 70 years old, so he didn't have youthful energy. He didn't have good health. He had a heart attack on the way over. So absolutely no resources. And yet, so just to prove, I believe, the statement that if you have full faith in the... That was his asset. This absolute dedication to order the spiritual master, to mission impossible, that I'll do it even if I don't have all these things that I think I need, if I have this vyavasa atmika buddhi, that I've made this order my life and soul. So he's passed the same order on to us. And we should also be convinced that by satisfying Krishna in this way, we will attain all fruits. Here's a text. I'll end with this text. This is a Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yata yata gaura padara vinde videta vindeta bhaktim pitta punya rashihi tata tato sarpati riddhi akasmat radha padam bhujya sudambu rashihi. This means that to the extent that a person who, having performed volumes of pious activities, attains devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, to that same extent, that person will rise up, having obtained in his heart, suddenly and of its own accord, volumes of the liquid nectar that flows from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So the word is here akasmat. Akasmat means not from anywhere, spontaneously, suddenly, of its own accord, it will take place. So, to me, this was also the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood the idea of having lobe or greed to satisfy the senses of the Lord. It has to be manifest. First of all, to satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That greed, the anxiety, the intense desire to spread Krishna consciousness, that's what was manifest in Srila Prabhupada and in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we have to say, we do not see that elsewhere. This seems to, so this was Prabhupada's claim, actually. And he wanted us to see that we also caught that same desire. And in this way, fulfilled this anxiety, desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, relieved him of anxiety for the, this Krishna consciousness movement. And we have the great lesson of how to accomplish these things. We just simply have to be completely dedicated to the order of Prabhupada. He gave us the order. Become a Vaishnava yourself. Many people think, oh, that's not possible. It's possible. One simply has to say, I don't know how I'll do it. I don't know how it's possible. I have so many material desires. I have so many anarthas. I have so many... No. It's possible. What makes it possible? What makes it possible is simply that we commit ourselves to it. And then Krishna will give all facility. Yoga Shema. Everything we need, spiritually and also materially. And the second part, we give it to others. That also looks tough. It looks like mission impossible. Look at this civilization roaring on around us, totally in the mode of passion. Well, remember, we're not saving the world. Lord Chaitanya is. We just have to be his servant. We can do this with a certain lightness of heart, I think. We just be his servant. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
Just a comment. I mean, I liked your presentation very much. I was just thinking when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his disciples to Germany and England and other places, and he gave them this incredibly inspired speech.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to, like Hanuman leaping across the ocean to Lanka, and how they should carry the discourses of Hari in their heads, like, servants. And very inspiring speech. And then they went and they described having this meeting with the Marquis of Jutland. He wanted to know how he could become a Brahmin. And they said, they mentioned the four regular principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And his response was, impossible. And so he probably commented once that they took it that when they came back, they were unsuccessful in doing much. Mm-hmm. So they considered this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as more or less a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was not possible. You know, it was just an idea, but it wasn't, there was no way they could see how it could be, ever be done.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada, as you say, was the one who actually understood. If I could say one more thing.
Sure, sure.
There's a funny story, I can't remember the name of it. Advisor to the king, and he had some other advisors, but he never consulted them. And so they were a little envious, and so they came and said, "Well, why didn't you ever consult us?" And he said, "All right, I'll give you an example." He said, "Here's an elephant. Tell me how much it weighs." You know this story. So how much does it weigh? And they all consulted together. He said, "There's no way we how could we possibly know how much it weighs." So then he said, okay, call my advisor that he always consulted. The beer ball. So he piled up bags that they knew the weight of each one into a boat. I'm sorry, they got an elephant. They put the elephant in the boat and it sank to a certain level. Mm. They marked the level and the elephant. Then they had to pile the bags in until it came to the same level again. He said, the weight of the elephant is such and such. Then the king turned to the other counselor and said, you see, that's why I consult only him. So I was thinking the problem is kind of like that person, that disciple of Vaikuntha that actually understood how to get it done.
It's true. Thank you. Anyone else?
I would add the point of your class is not that how to get it done, but probably the surrender point that's unable to get it done.
That's right. That he's every time, even if you go through Foley and you type in secret of success, it always tells the same secret. It's like an open secret. It's like an open secret that one has to take the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. There's much more I can say on this, but we're this. Yeah.
Considering we all work with different people, there's different critics, there's different issues, different challenges, etc. You know that.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing you emphasize you use the word motif.
A leitmotif, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So could we understand that in part when you say the order of the spiritual master, we're speaking of the Purim Torah and not just the singular spiritual master, because we have
No, it's the Purim Torah. Definitely. You see that I was struck by looking at this chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the order comes from. It comes from Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada puts it in its most generic form. You become Krishna conscious yourself and you give it to others. It may be go to the West for one person. Well, we're already in the West. Maybe we have to go to the East. Who knows? but still, if that desire is there that I become Krishna conscious myself and I give it to others and I work on these two things simultaneously, Krishna will give us all intelligence. Part of the facility is the intelligence, that is the guidance and the direction. One thing to look at, which we don't have time to do today, but in the Bhagavatam in the fifth canto, in the allegory, is it the fifth canto? The allegory of Paranjana, it's in the fourth canto. Fourth canto, the allegories of Paranjana. Paranjana becomes a woman, a queen, and her husband, the king, dies. And at that point, there's another allegory, and in the commentaries to that, Prabhupada tells us exactly what is supposed to happen after his disappearance, when the spiritual master disappears, and you'll find it's the same theme, that basically the queen is lamenting, out of separation, but Prabhupada says there's no separation between the spiritual master and disciple as so long as the disciple follows the instructions or the order of the spiritual master. He said this is called Vani Seva. By Vani Seva, one always keeps the association of the spiritual master. And then the queen is about to immolate herself. And Prabhupada says that this means that the disciples should rather die than fail to execute the order of the spiritual master. She laments that rogues and thieves are coming. Prabhupada said when the acharya disappears, things become disordered, and it should be the commitment of the disciple to rectify things by following the instructions of the spiritual master. Then a Brahmin appears and says to the queen, I am your old friend, don't you remember me? This is the super soul. And Prabhupada says to follow the order of the spiritual master is tantamount to seeing Krishna in the form of the super soul or some other form. However, one then has directions. One knows what to do by this Vani Seva. He gives exactly what should be done. And it comes to the same thing, this commitment to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. If one is committed to those instructions, then all facility is there, all intelligence is there. What to do next. The Prabhupada very carefully gave these instructions to us, actually. Yeah, that's right. That's also there. It's true. Thank you. Hey, well, so we better stop, huh?
Well, just stop this one.
Okay.
So this sense of the direct order of the spiritual master, you are emphasizing this, the theme coming to the front.
Yeah.
Not that as a new disciple today or 1500 years from now is to wait for the embodiment of the spiritual master to give them their specific, you know, you go to love it, Texas, and you go to
Lubbock, Texas probably needs us, but
that might be impossible.
Lubbock's important. That's just, yeah. Yeah, sure. No, it's you know what he should, but what whatever, however, yeah, the generic form is always there, and sometimes there's specific instructions too. You can't discount that. But that instruction, everybody who preaches Krishna consciousness, we should give that instruction: become a devotee yourself, and help others to become devotees. That's our commitment. Okay, thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Huh? And that'll turn the power off also.
No, then you put the okay. Hole back on.
Now it's. Yeah, yeah, we pass it on. Yeah.
Pass it on.
Yeah. I should have said, okay, everybody, I'm giving you the same one.
Specific instructions are not there.
No, but the general instruction is always there. Yeah, and if you don't have a specific instruction, you have the general instruction. Because it may have to take some specific form, then you have to use your intelligence. But Krishna will give us the intelligence, you know. What do I need to become Krishna conscious myself? If I'm dedicated to that, Krishna will make, you know, as soon as I want to become Krishna conscious, Krishna gives all facility as a fact.
But again,
and as soon as I want to preach, he gives all facility.
Again, the spiritual master's order is the life and soul. But
yeah.
In my case, I don't have any specific order.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
Spiritual master,
yeah.
Who is already now in the.
But I'm sure you've understood that you have to become Krishna conscious yourself.
That is. But you know, okay.
Yeah.
The other part is to spread Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, to spread Krishna consciousness, right.
So, there is no specific way.
Yeah, yeah, but you...
That you do this way or do that.
Yeah, right.
So in that case, I have to get instruction from somebody else.
Yeah. Or if we're rightly situated, we'll also get guidance from Krishna. But we have our authorities. We have our we can consult with other people. What do you think? But I have to start somewhere. Just like Prabhupada, he said go to the West, but he immediately started. At least in India, he tried to preach in English. You know, to the people.
I'm going to sell. There is no